Let's read together 2 Chronicles chapter 29. In this chapter, we have the beginning of good King Hezekiah's reign and the record of his preparations for the great revival that was to take place during his reign. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses of this chapter. Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned the incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense." Let's begin our study of 2 Chronicles chapter 29 with some background notes. After reading about the evil ways of wicked King Ahaz in chapter 28, what a breath of fresh air it is to read of the godly ways of good King Hezekiah. We read in verse 2 that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. One commentator has even referred to Hezekiah as the golden boy of Chronicles. Isaiah was the major prophet who ministered in Jerusalem during the days of King Hezekiah, and through Isaiah's motivation, King Hezekiah was enabled to withstand the threat of the Assyrians under the siege of Sennacherib. At this time, God intervened on the behalf of King Hezekiah, and Jerusalem was miraculously delivered, as we'll see in chapter 32. So Hezekiah was a significant king in Judah's history. He was not only a good king, but during his reign, one of the major revivals of God's people in the Old Testament took place. Here in chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, we see the groundwork being laid for this great revival. In fact, we can see in this chapter prerequisites for all spiritual revivals of God's people. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Doctrinal point number one. Revival is preceded by a determination to change. Revival is preceded by a determination to change. Verse 10. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Now there's determination to change. Hezekiah was not content to live in the midst of spiritual and moral decay. He was determined to change the downward course of the nation and bring the people back to the Lord. The first thing that Hezekiah did was to open and repair the doors of the temple so that the priests and Levites could go back to the important work that God had called them to do. Look again at verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, Hezekiah opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. How about that record for the first 100 days in office? Remember, wicked King Ahaz had closed the doors of the temple and cut up the utensils of the temple for the precious metals. Now we see that a significant motivating factor for Hezekiah's determination was his realization that the nation was under the discipline of God because of their sins. Verses 8 and 9 once again. Therefore the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem. For indeed because of this our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Remember from chapter 28 how God allowed many of the people to go into captivity at the hands of the Syrians and the Edomites, as well as the northern kingdom of Israel. Hezekiah recognized that all of this was because of Judah's sins, and he was determined to get the nation back on course before the Lord. Look at his determination in how he addresses the priests and Levites in verse 11. My sons, do not be negligent now. You know, we too have got to be determined if we would see revival in our personal lives and in our churches. Revival does not come without determination to change. No one drifts into godliness. Let me ask you, do you realize and recognize when you are under God's discipline? Are we determined to change our ways? Revival is preceded by a determination to change. Doctrinal point number two, revival is preceded by a dedication to holiness. Revival is preceded by a dedication to holiness. Verses 12 through 22. Then the Levites arose. And now down to verse 15, we have a list of the leading Levites who dedicated themselves to the work of the Lord. Verse 15. And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and went according to the commandment of the king at the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Then the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the debris that had been found in the temple of the Lord to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to the brook Kidron. Now they began to sanctify on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they came to the vestibule of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and on the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went into King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all the house of the Lord." Then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. And they brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judah. Then he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. Back in verse 5, we read that King Hezekiah said to the priests and the Levites, "Hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place." Now in the verses that we just read, we see this order being carried out. The priests and the Levites first consecrated themselves, and then they cleansed the temple. To consecrate yourself as a priest or Levite meant that you went through a ceremonial washing, and you separated from anything defiling. And in the cleansing of the temple, everything unclean from the days of wicked King Ahaz was carried out and buried in the Kidron Valley, verse 16. And then the proper sacrifices were made. Now the bottom line of all that was involved in the consecration of the Levites and in the cleansing of the temple was holiness. That was the bottom line. There can be no revival without a dedication to holiness. Are we dedicated to wanting to live a holy life and have a godly lifestyle? Are we dedicated to removing what is unclean from our lives? Remember, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. As the priests and the Levites remove what was unclean from the temple in Hezekiah's day, so we must remove what is unclean in our lives today. Where and with what and with whom are you spending your spare time? Revival is preceded by a dedication to holiness. And doctrinal point number three. Revival is preceded by a desire to worship. Revival is preceded by a desire to worship. Verses 23 through 35. Then they brought out the male goats for the sin offering before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering be made for all Israel. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and stringed instruments and with harps. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets and with the instruments of David, king of Israel. So all the assembly worshipped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the leaders commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the assembly brought was 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. But the priests were too few, so that they could not skin all the burnt offerings. Therefore their brethren, the Levites, helped them until the work was ended and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. In these verses, we see a great desire to worship the Lord. Verse 29, once again. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed and worshiped. The people not only brought the proper sacrifices, but their hearts were in it as well. Notice how they all laid their hands on the sin offering in verse 23. And they laid their hands on them. This was identification with the sacrifice. Now, do you see the spiritual picture? There can be no true worship of God if we don't identify with Christ who was sacrificed for our sins. Notice also the song and sacrifice in verses 27 and 28. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began. So all the assembly worshiped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Singing praise to the Lord is certainly part of worship. End of verse 30. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. And notice in verse 31 that when the people brought their personal sacrifices and their thank offerings to the Lord, it was from willing hearts. End of verse 31. So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. No wonder there was revival. Revival is preceded by a desire to worship. Practical application from 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Don't think that rapid revival can't happen. Don't think that rapid revival can't happen. Verse 36. Then Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced that God had prepared the people, since the events took place so suddenly. The revival of God's people in Hezekiah's day happened overnight, as it were. Why? Because God had prepared the people and the prerequisites were there. Determination to change, dedication to holiness, and desire to worship the Lord. And you know the same is true today. Don't think that rapid revival can't happen. We tend to think that great sweeping revivals are a work of God in the past and can't happen in this day and age. Listen, it's amazing what God can do in a short time, in our personal lives or in the life of our fellowship, if our hearts are right. Don't think that rapid revival can't happen.